our hopes, a letter, or perhaps a diary entry, written by Zee Charnot in the early 1990s. Our hopes do not rise, nor do they fall, based upon what we have. Our hopes are based upon more eternal stuff. Now we look to what endures. Now we live with what we know and what we are. Now we live with the relationships with those who know us best. Remember the moments I described between Keo and myself when we sat at a table in a Brantford coffee shop? Keo asked why we needed the equipment, the facilities and furnishings when so much could be thought and synthesized on the back of a placemat with a couple of pens. We only needed the equipment, the facilities, the furnishings in order to express and demonstrate to others and to one another what we knew and what we were learning. If few were responding, why use so much of what we do supporting the demonstration? Remember the Golden Griddle sessions and what made them possible? There was a freedom. So many, for so long, have misunderstood when I have offered the mind-building directive. Point with your mind to your right leg and repeat, "My right leg is relaxed, limp and heavy, warm and comfortable." Those who have misunderstood have said, "But it isn't." I offered a directive, an image, for those who had not yet explored a visualization, for those who had already experienced it. Some would even consider that I was not telling the truth. They would say, "My leg is not relaxed. It is not limp and heavy. It is not warm and comfortable." More often, I was not talking about legs, nor was limpness the issue. Someone in Ottawa, in a session for deep relaxation, was given the tape recording made at one of our conferences. In that tape, I directed us to say, "I am pure." Some can't say it and believe it yet. When we derive our beliefs from our experiences, rather than realize we derive our experiences from our beliefs, we bound and limit ourselves. Am I insincere when I say, "Stay nice," or "Stay beautiful"? Some territorialize this reality. And compete or conflict. Some regard your worth in terms of asset scorekeeping. I have nothing, and I have everything. I keep pretty rocks on the beach where I found them. I keep friendships in my heart where I found them. I still have an oak tree I can visit. I still have a pond beside which I walk, even when I can't stand up. Throughout my life, I have always had great friendships. It is still a question whether my friends have also accepted my friendship. Patricia Brown on East 94th in L.A. was my childhood friend. Cecilia and Sarah were some of my first friends in Delano during World War II. When I moved to the house next to the schoolyard, there was Mary and Suzanne Castellan. My cousin Joyce was my next best friend back in L.A. on 87th Street. Then on 121st Street, there was Joan Kearns and David Seifert. On 106th Street, Gary Swanson, then George Kyler, Dich Newland, and the four of us, a quartet, and good friends. Carlos Castilla was a fine friend. Before that, Robert Parker, my locker mate in junior high. Back at 118th Street School, there was James Singleton and Richard Morris. At daycare, there was Robert Steiner. Molly Childers was an important friend at an important time. She was my first fiance. At John C. Fremont High School, Florence Becker Ford was a very special friend. Subsequently, Mary Ann Little was my close friend. My best friend, commencing more than 40 years ago, was Jonna Lee Wagner, my wife for 16 years. and the mother of our first four children. She had the hardship of being with me during the most upheaving change in my nature, my values, and my purposes. She saw the 1966 upheaval in my life. The next great friendships of my life were in and around San Jose. There was Yoshimitsu Higa, Irving Brown, Larry Keane, Jack Morrison, Don DeWelt, George Aller. Marlon Pierce became a good friend, made some bad guesses, and rejected the friendship. Len Perkins, Santa Clara, Jan Giesel, then Monterey and Salinas, then Eugene, Oregon, Salem, Vancouver, to be continued.